Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, these warmer summer days bring with them opportunity for outdoor activities. For example, going muddying with a four-wheeler. A few weeks ago, I had an opportunity to do that, and I made the unfortunate decision to bring my dog, Milo, with. Though I was kept relatively dry on top of the four-wheeler, Milo was unwilling to abandon me, and he plowed headfirst through the deepest portions of the mudhole. And the net result was some distorted animal sitting in front of me, 50% mutt, 50% mud. And I wasn't about to let him into my car in such a sorry state. So when we were finished, I took him over to the hose and I turned on the faucet. He wasn't much a fan of the cold water, but in a few short minutes, the mud was washed away and the panting and wet but clean dog sat wagging his tail in front of me. And that visual came back to me again and again in thinking about the sign and the seal of God's covenant relationship with us. Seeing things washed clean with running waters is a powerful image of our spiritual state, our being washed clean of our sins and our sinful nature by our Lord God. This is something that is signified to us and sealed to us through baptism. And so this afternoon, brothers and sisters, I'd like to look more closely at this washing that God promises His people through baptism with the following theme and points. In baptism, God promises to wash us with Christ's blood and Spirit. We'll consider three washings. First, a washing with water. Secondly, a washing with blood. Thirdly, a washing with Spirit. In baptism, God promises to wash us with Christ's blood and Spirit. We look first at a washing with water. So we recognize that baptism, it's a sign, it's a seal that's done with water. It's a visual that we can relate to. Everyone uses water to clean things. We use water in our washing machines to clean our clothes. We use water in the sink to clean our dishes. We use water in the hoses to wash our vehicles or animals, especially now that the warmer weather has come. And our Lord and Savior, in His wisdom, knew that our faith could be strengthened with this particular visual, a washing with water. For these sunny days, best spent outdoors means that children, and frequently adults and even pets as well, come home with grass and mud stains all over on their clothes, on their legs, on their arms. And a simple rag won't wipe away the mess. Water is needed to help wash everything away. There's something intrinsically satisfying in seeing your dirty arms and hands washed clean under the running water after a long and hot day's work in the sun. And it's in the visual of water washing things away that we're to consider the washing of baptism. Now, the water of baptism itself does not wash away our sins. The act of baptizing someone does not itself grant forgiveness of sins and access to everlasting life. After all, there are those who have gone to heaven without being baptized, like the criminal on the cross beside Christ Jesus. Though he was not baptized, Jesus still told him that he would be with him in paradise. Likewise, there are those who have been baptized who have not gone into heaven. Despite receiving the sign and the seal of the covenant of grace, there are those who would reject it, and turn away from the only Savior, Christ Jesus. And in doing so, they do not receive what the water of baptism points to. This is why we do not stress the strict necessity of baptism in the way that other Christians like Roman Catholics do. For the water of baptism itself, we recognize, is a sign that points to salvation in Christ Jesus and is not the means to that salvation itself. And yet, as a sign and seal, it is, beloved of Christ, a constant reminder for us, reminding us of our own sinful nature and our need to be washed clean in the blood of Christ Jesus. That it is necessary for our old natures to be put to death so that we may walk in newness of life. As our form for baptism puts it, the immersion in or sprinkling with water teaches us that we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless we are born again. That's part of why it is such a privilege to have baptism conducted publicly. That every time that we witness baptism, we may be reminded of the baptism that we ourselves have received. Why that baptism was necessary in the first place. Baptism given to point us to washing, to being cleaned from sin. Baptism reminding us that we were dirty, that we are dirty in and of ourselves. Clean clothes do not need to be washed. Dirty ones do. We are not clean outside of Christ, and so we need to be cleaned. Now the Catechism had rightly noted in Lord's Day 24 that even our best works are tainted with sin. For the hearts of man are darkened. Our good works are, as the prophet Isaiah describes them, like a dirty rag that needs to be washed clean, purged with hyssop, scrubbed with soap. We need to be taken and washed of the dirt that is sin and restored into a clean and right relationship with God. That's what baptism signifies, reminding us that we need to be washed, that we are, at our core, dirty. And it has its roots in Old Testament prophecies, like in Ezekiel 36, where the Lord promises to sprinkle clean water on His people to clean them from uncleanliness. Again, in Zechariah 13, where the imagery of a fountain being opened to clean Jerusalem is used. David recognized this himself, particularly after his series of grievous sins before the Lord with his affair with Bathsheba. He had deceived himself into thinking that he could cover up his sinful behavior so that no one would find out. Nobody would know. But the Lord knew. The Lord sent his prophet Nathan to confront him on it. David recognized after he had been confronted that first and foremost, he had offended God. And so he asked to be washed clean, purged with hyssop. It's a potent herb used for purification. He recognized his need to be washed clean to become whiter than snow. This was the message that John the Baptist proclaimed. He called on the people of God to repent, to recognize their need for washing, to recognize the wrath that was to fall on them if they were not washed clean. And in that call, he gave to them a symbol of that washing in the River Jordan, pointed ahead to a cleansing by the Holy Spirit. And he understood that one greater than he would need to come to truly wash his people clean. Brothers and sisters, do you recognize your need to be washed clean? It's very easy for us to deceive ourselves on that front, just as David did in his affair with Bathsheba. That he thought that he could cover up his affair by marrying that widow after arranging for her husband's death. And that episode highlighted for him just how easily his sinful nature could deceive himself. His need for God to create a new heart in him. A pure and clean heart from the Holy Spirit whose presence he so desperately needed for strength. Baptism should remind you time and again of your need to be washed clean. That you are sinful. That you need to have your sins forgiven. That you need to acknowledge that you did not obey God. That you need salvation. That you need a way to be washed and so receive a good conscience. And that's something that parents even need to acknowledge when it comes to bringing their own beloved children forward to receive this sign and seal, just as Brother and Sister Skinner are doing this afternoon. It can be a difficult thing to look at young Felix and to consider him as subject to condemnation. His need to be washed clean. We consider children to be innocent, pure, something to be cherished. And yet this, his first worship service together with his brothers and sisters in Dunville, is one in which his parents and all of his spiritual brothers and sisters acknowledge that he is tainted. And apart from Christ Jesus, he too would be lost. That he, together with the rest of us, have a need that can only be met with the washing of Christ in His precious blood. Now, compared with the visual of washing with water, washing with blood is a bit more repugnant. After all, who appreciates the sight of blood? There are those who faint at the sight of blood. Children with cuts and scrapes consider them scarier when there's blood coming through. Some adults as well. Some people stop eating meat after they've witnessed the butchering of an animal and they see the bloody process that came with its preparations. We're uncomfortable with the sight of blood and we'd much rather have it kept where it belongs, inside the body. But blood is necessary for what we have done. As Hebrews 9 puts it, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Someone needs to bear the cost of grieving God. Someone needs to pay for the sins that we've committed. As Lord's Day 4 reminds us, our sin is so severe that God demands it be paid with everlasting punishment. Someone needs to make the payment that's necessary and appropriate for the offense of mankind against the infinite majesty of an eternally good and holy and all-consuming God. Even the baptism of John the Baptist pointed to this reality, highlighting the wrath of God, the need for repentance. Not that he himself could bear it, but that one who would come after him, mightier, could. Now, bloodshed is necessary for was especially appreciated by the Israelites in the Old Testament. For the Lord God was willing to establish a covenant with them even in the days before Christ Jesus came to make this payment. He was willing to count them as clean, to consider them His holy people. And as a sign and seal to them of how they could be righteous and considered righteous before Him, blood had to be shed. There were thousands of sacrifices offered year by year by the Israelites to the Lord God. Rivers of blood flowed from the altar as countless animals were sacrificed before the holy God. And it would not have been a very pleasant experience for the Israelites, and yet expected of them by their covenant Lord. And each Israelite man would also bear a sign and seal of the bloodshed that is necessary for a covenant relationship to be possible with God again. The male children would be circumcised as a sign and seal of their covenant relationship with the Lord. And their circumcision would stand as a reminder that they were set apart by the Lord as part of a holy people who were redeemed from their sins. But this bloodshed, along with the bloodshed on the altars, would not, could not pay for their sins. As we believe and confess, only the true blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, could properly pay for sins, could properly wash us clean. Baptism points to this washing already done in Christ's blood. This is imagery that is used throughout the Scriptures. As we mentioned in the Old Testament, there are many ceremonial rituals commanded by God that involve the shedding of blood and sacrifices for the sins and guilt of the people. That every year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would bring blood and sprinkle it on the ark, the mercy seat of the Lord and the Holy of Holies. A sprinkled blood that pointed ahead to Christ's shed blood. A sprinkled blood that, as the author of Hebrews would put it, speaks a better word than that of Abel's. As the law of God requires, sin committed against the Most High Majesty of God be punished with the most severe. So when Christ had to make payment for our sins, He had to do so with the most precious purchase in all history. His body, His blood. Our baptism should therefore impress upon us an immense feeling of gratitude. After all, that someone should give up their life to pay for another's is something that even unbelievers appreciate well. Consider the reverence that we give to soldiers who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in fighting for freedom. Think about how Canadian Blood Services advocates for us to give the gift of life by donating blood. It's one of the most precious gifts that people can give. And if such sacrifices of man from something as significant as fighting in a war caused by man, or a lesser sacrifice done by spending only an hour donating blood, are things that are respected by men, how much more so what the Son of God incarnate did for us. Our Savior Christ Jesus, He wore a crown of thorns. He had drops of sweat like blood come down His head. He had His hands, His feet pierced for our transgressions, His side punctured by a spear, had His blood poured out in a perfect sacrifice for us. Though perfectly innocent, led like a lamb to the slaughter, hung on a tree at Golgotha where both man and God rejected Him so that His precious blood could pay for our sins. His blood shed so that our blood would no longer be necessary to pay for sins. This is something that we must not forget when we consider our baptisms. It's so easy to think about how clean baptism is, how pure the water is, how clean the person who is being baptized is. It's an exciting occasion to witness a new member receive this sign and seal. As we will witness in a few minutes, young brother Felix. We cannot forget that it points to a washing by blood. For baptism, it's a beautiful sacrament only because it points to us this gospel promise, forgiveness of sins. And even the gospel promises are only based upon a solemn premise. God grants forgiveness of sins in Christ through an act that is necessary because we are sinners. Because we're sinners, we're tainted, blemished, unrighteous, and unholy. We are dirty. We need to be washed. Do we truly grasp the significance of baptism? Do we recognize the blood that was necessary for us to be declared clean? Have we felt the joy of knowing that the precious blood of Christ Jesus is what has washed away our filthy sins, our uncleanliness before God? Brothers and sisters, we need to be reminded. We need to be confronted by our sins so that we may reject ourselves and our own strength and cling all the more to the one sacrifice of Christ, of our Savior, and rest in the joy of being washed in Him. When you're baptized, you receive a sign and seal of this promise of Christ's blood. What do you do with this promise? It's a promise that is yours for your whole life. It's not something that you can push away beyond the reach of faith. It's a promise that you can find comfort in when you feel particularly dirty, when you fall yet again into sin, when you recognize a particular sin or sinful activity as it overwhelms you once more. And yet your baptism stands as a reminder. Psalm 51, cleanse me, I will be clean. Wash me, I will be whiter than snow. Your baptism allows you to consider and to realize particular sins, to highlight them without fear of being cast out, without fear of being rejected. Your baptism allows you not to worry about covering up something in order to save face in the eyes of God and man. For your baptism and the baptism of your brothers and sisters stands as a reminder to yourself and to those around you that great and terrible sins, sins that you have committed, sins that I have committed, are what made the shedding of the precious blood of Christ Jesus necessary. And a renewal by His Spirit possible. Therefore, brothers and sisters, when a particular sin confronts you, you may remember that it is surely washed clean in the blood of our Savior as you take it to the Lord and seek forgiveness. His precious blood is yours in the love of God. And more than that, He does not leave you to wash yourself in Christ's blood, but in His grace He washes you by His Spirit to react to the sins that you are confronted with. Baptism also points to washing by the Spirit. For our baptism, it's not only a symbol of the death of sin, of the washing by blood, of our unclean hearts having its mud removed. It's also a symbol of the result of these things. With the death of sins comes new life. With washed hearts comes a new nature. Christ told Nicodemus that nobody could enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Water which points to the renewal by Christ's Spirit to be citizens living of that heavenly kingdom. It's a radical transformation by the Spirit of God into a new creation. One that is clean, one that is upright, one that is good and faithful. Paul appeals to this several times in his letters. For example, Romans 6, he speaks of walking in newness of life, having been buried with Christ by baptism. When he writes to the Corinthians, he writes of being washed and sanctified by the Spirit of God. In Colossians 2, he equates circumcision with baptism, a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh. In Philippians 3, of being circumcised by serving God by His Spirit and boasting in Christ Jesus. Therefore, baptism as a washing points to the washing we receive by Christ's Spirit. Romans 6 gives the call that as surely as Christ has been raised from the dead and will never die again, therefore we, the followers of Christ, must consider ourselves dead to sin. Having been buried with Christ by baptism, therefore alive to God in Christ Jesus. That the same power of God that raised Christ victorious from the dead is also at work in the hearts of believers, helping us to crucify the old nature so that we're no longer enslaved to sin. That by the power of the Spirit we may become more and more dead to sin. By the power of the Spirit we may seek to lead a new and holy and blameless life as the children of God, as the children within His covenant. That same Spirit sanctifies us, makes us holy to be members of Christ, members of the same body, united together in our calling to live before God, becoming more and more dead to sin, leading a holy and blameless life. A promise given to each one of us who have received that sign and seal in baptism. One that is realized in those who have faith. Baptism shows to us, it assures us that Christ cleanses us to remove our past, washing away our sinful dirt as if we'd never been dirty before. For He's the Lord who watches over His church. He's the one who's perfecting His church in His love. He takes what once was dirty, sons of men, and cleanses it, conforms it to His will. We know that He wants our hearts. As Paul wrote to Titus, Christ gave Himself to redeem us and purify us for Himself, a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. But the process of being cleansed, of living in that new life, it's not an instantaneous one. As the Catechism itself says, we more and more become dead to sin. We lead a holy and blameless life. We're engaged in a lifelong battle against sin. We are washed clean in the precious blood of Christ Jesus, but we yet see the need for that washing each day again, as we continue in our fight against our sinful natures. And this can wear us down. Times that we feel overwhelmed that we're unable to overcome certain sins, even to the point that those sins seem to be winning the battle against us. It can feel like that the promised Spirit isn't actually renewing us, that the promises that we've received in baptism, they're too far away. And for many of us, it's been a long, long time since we received the sign and seal of holy baptism. Many of you were baptized shortly after you were born, and you don't particularly remember the occasion. But we are baptized once, and we receive the promises of God in a true and certain way. For the comfort of our baptism is that God will never forsake us, that Christ's promised Spirit will be with us for our whole lives. That when we do respond in faith, we may know for certain that our God continues to be with us in our fight against sin. That as surely as water washes away dirt from the body, so surely does the cleansing Spirit of Christ dwell in us, wash us spiritually, equip us in our battle against sin. Our baptism, beloved of Christ, is a reminder that we're not in this fight against sin alone. Our baptism is a reminder that it's not just Jesus paying for our sins with His blood and then letting us loose to fight against our sin in this world, trying to find our own way. Our baptism is a reminder that His Spirit will always be there for us. Therefore, my brothers, my sisters, remember your baptism in your struggle against sin. Remember that the promise of God is that you are a new creation by His Spirit. His promise is that when you cling to Christ, when you trust in Him for all that you need, then you are truly dead to sin and indeed alive to righteousness. Baptism, as a sign and seal, it's something beautiful that God has blessed us with to work with. When we ignore our baptism or dismiss it as irrelevant, it becomes all the more difficult to rest in the comfort of salvation we have in Jesus Christ. It becomes easier to forget about the cleansing power of our loving God. It becomes easier to despair of our sins, our misery, and to lose sight of who we are in Christ Jesus. But when we reflect upon our sins being washed clean by the blood of our Savior, when we receive hope in our being washed clean in our spiritual battle against sin, it becomes all the more possible for us to live by faith in the words of the covenant promises of our holy Lord. Therefore, brothers and sisters, work with your baptism and the baptisms of loved ones around you. Remind yourselves, remind one another of the promises of God. Teach each other about the precious blood of Christ that you're truly washed in to receive by faith. And parents have an especially beautiful task in teaching covenant children that God has blessed them with about the promises of God, calling them to believe in Jesus Christ so that they too may receive the precious blood and Spirit of Jesus. Let us, each one of us, be encouraged in the joys that are ours by faith as baptized by a loving God. Amen.